let's get started. Oh my goodness, we were busy chatting. I am sorry, Aging Well Together listeners. I abandoned you for about a month. It's Heather Altman, your host, and I was in Japan. And so I'm with our guests right now, and we were talking about the trip. But we need to start our show. Let's get the music all the way down. We have a wonderful show. We always have wonderful shows for you, but I'm super excited about today's show. It's going to be very fun, all about the benefits of gardening and working with nature, but a very specific type of gardening, therapeutic horticulture and horticultural therapy, and we're going to learn all about what those terms mean. I'm so excited. I've heard a little bit about this work, and people absolutely love it, but I want to know so much more. Before we... Oh, pun intended. Before we dig in, Alicia, that was good, right?
That was pretty good, Heather.
Thank
welcome
you.
Back.
I that just time I just got that on the
girl.
Fly. Before we dig into today's topic, I'm excited for what we're going to learn together, but we do always want to give a shout out to WCOMLP-FM, Chapel Hill Carborough on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. Our Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week as we talk to different folks around the community, special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for Aging Well Together. You can catch us live, or if it was the last month, you can catch us recorded every Thursday from 2 to 3, or you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org, or now you can listen to any of our previous shows, aka our cool podcasts, through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. Make sure you have that Orange County NC, or you'll get to Orange County, some other state, Florida or California, orangecountync.gov/aging. When you go to the website, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of helpful other resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. And if you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on any of the shows, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, and many folks have been doing that, you can either call the Department on Aging at, I always take a break if people are getting their, as Alicia's doing her pencil and pens ready, 919-968-2070, or feel free to email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. That's agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, nice and smooth. A shout out to the Carborough Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet. We just let you listen to just a few moments of their great music, their original music that we use for our opening, but we also use it for our closing music, so you can hear more about it or more from them at the end. And we are back together after a month away. My fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, wellness instructor extraordinaire with the Orange County Department on Aging and host of the fabulous Afternoon Talk with Alicia that comes up right after our show is here with us. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, Heather. Welcome back. We missed you.
I missed you. I missed the show. I missed you.
We thought you'd send us actual FaceTime videos from over there that we could put on.
I have a lot. I have videos and stories, but whether they go on air, I hadn't thought about it. Though I will tell you.
We're going to get you as a guest.
What I will tell you, and I was able to convince my husband to do karaoke. I said, we're going to Tokyo. We have to do a karaoke bar. And we went. And what's great about there and some of the karaoke places, I think, here, but I've never done it in the States, is you get your own private room. Just the two of us and a pitcher of beer. And while I have recordings from those sessions,
you recorded it.
None of them will be played. They were awful. But we had so much fun. I did send a few to our girls. And
they
it was
have,
really
they
fun.
They do have one here where you have the rent rooms. It's off of 15501.
Oh, really? It was
a repeat.
So fun, but I am glad other people aren't going to hear
can
that.
Can we have you as a guest on Aging Well Together? We
you
like to
have
to
me
you
as
that.
A guest every single
we
time.
To talk to you.
So I'm going to say one more thing about me, And then we're going to turn it all to our guests. I am your host, for those who don't know why I am talking to you. So I am Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members. And at 53, I am focusing on my own changing needs. You always hear me say that. So as always, I'm invested in how we are all aging well together. And I'm excited to turn it over today's show because I don't garden. I know.
You don't garden.
My name is Heather Altman, and I am not a gardener. And I know I am affecting our three guests.
Heather.
All right. So the guests, just like Alicia, for over a year, almost a year now, our year anniversary is just in about 3 weeks, has been trying to get me to move my body more and get more. We have amazing, we have Jackie Podger, and we have Amy Bruzik-Casey.
Yes!
Did I do it right? Yay! And they're going to get me all into gardening. Okay.
Yes.
So we have our returning guest, Jackie. I'm not going to do last names just for fun because I don't want to. I did it once and I don't want to mess it up again. Jackie, you hopefully all will recognize the voice, especially since the recording played again last week. So this is Jackie's second time, an old friend of Aging Well Together and a longtime colleague of mine. Jackie first came on to tell us about her work with the long-term care ombudsman in the area and how she is a volunteer with community as a community advisory board member, visiting our local senior care communities. But she's also a master gardener and a student in the horticultural therapy space. So we have Jackie back. And then we have Amy, who's a new friend of ours and a new friend of Aging Well Together. And Amy specializes in elder care services, horticultural therapy, and adult education with a diverse background in long-term residential acute care, home, and community settings. Amy is a real live therapeutic horticulturalist. That is so cool sounding. Mm-hmm. She's a therapeutic horticulturalist, both in private practice, and she works with the North Carolina Botanical Garden. So we have so much to learn from them. Welcome back, Jackie. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much. It's so exciting to be here.
And a perfect show as we are in what I like to refer and others like to refer to as the pollinating.
Yes.
We're entering spring season. The green thumbs among us are very excited. Now, we've got a lot to dive into. There's a lot for you to tell us or dig into, about what therapeutic horticulture is and therapeutic gardening. But before we do that, we have a history at the show where we always like to ask our guests, both of you, just to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what got you into dirt, I guess. Amy, we're going to start with you because then I'm going to come back to you when we start doing the definition questions after. But
yeah. So career-wise, I started as a social worker. I have 2 degrees in social work. One of them is from right up the street here at UNC Chapel Hill. Nice. My master's degree came from there.
Go Tar Heels!
I've always used plants in my practice. So even I did an internship at Carol Woods, right here in Chapel Hill.
Do you know I worked there?
Yes.
Were we friends back then when you did it? Okay, we'll do
back
names
in the 90s.
Afterwards.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Therapy.
Well, no, I know a lot of the students that came by.
Alicia's
looking at me. Yeah.
Long time
ago. Okay, go on. So go on.
But I would take plants around in the care facility there just to break the ice with people that maybe didn't want to talk or didn't want to talk to a social worker. It would sometimes help to, let's water a plant together. Let's take care of a plant together. And then maybe we'll talk about other things later because we have lots of time. And that did break the ice. That would help. We can be working side by side on a project together instead of having to face each other, because that can be kind of scary.
It can.
And intimidating to people. But facing something side by side can be an icebreaker. And I discovered that fortunately early on. So I worked in other care facilities after graduating and internships. ended up working in other places and helping put in gardens. It just kind of fell naturally, working with older people that often came from rural places and had gardened all their lives, either for pleasure or had to do it in order to grow food. It was just a skill that they came with, and it was just part of something that they did naturally. So it was an everyday thing, just, you know, just like, I guess, kids nowadays play video games. Our older folks, when I was coming into my profession, gardening was just something that was part of what they did day to day. So finding that as an activity, as a way to break the ice and find a way to connect with them, made it part of how I practiced social work. So I didn't realize that was also a profession.
A thing,
until we all got shut down a few years ago during the pandemic.
So we
all had to sit at home in our homes. I don't sit real well. I'm a moving around kind of a person. And I have a garden myself. So there's a show that comes on in the UK called Gardener's World, and we can get that on BritBox.
Good to know.
Yeah, it is.
I don't garden, but I do watch TV a lot.
It's one of the most relaxing, calming TV shows probably on the planet.
Wow.
But I turned that on one evening just to see what was going on there. And there was a fella on there who was, I guess he was a military veteran in the UK, and he was working in a public garden with his horticultural therapist to regain his ability to walk. And it was like the sun came out. I said, he's doing what with who?
Right.
And it was amazing. This person was using the garden, the place that he was accustomed to being in, and instead of being in a, you know, in a corridor with, and that's what he said. He said, I'm an active person. He'd been a Marine. He said, instead of having to be in this depressing place with fluorescent lights, I was outdoors. And he said, I was in a place where I felt alive again. And he said, I felt motivated to get up and move. And he said, now I'm able to walk, to garden, to be with my family. He said it was the one thing that helped me get motivated to do the really difficult physical work that I needed to do. And so you saw that and said, how do I get
blossoming
started?
Good. So it blossomed your
how
next
do
career.
I get
Thank
started.
You, Alicia.
So I did a little bit of research. I found the Horticultural Therapy Institute, which is out of Colorado. Figured out how do I do this. So it takes about a year to get to go through this series of classes, and I took the first one remotely, which was fine. But they recommended, they said, it's really better if you can do them in person. So I took the next three in person, and it was amazing to just meet the other people and learn to do, learn the very specific skills for horticultural therapy in person, because it is a very, it's a very specific set of skills.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I also decided that I wanted to become certified in therapeutic horticulture, which is a little bit different. We'll talk about that.
I know, yeah.
I need to know both, because I need to be able to switch between both depending on the setting that I'm in and the direction that I want to go. So I connected with North Carolina Botanical Garden to take their courses, and I ended up doing both at the same time. Realized that my horticulture knowledge was okay, but I needed to also to augment that a little bit. So I took classes through NC State to get that up to speed, and I'll be finishing up my certificate in horticulture this semester, so I'll have that under my belt. I'm an Alamance County Master Gardener as well, so
we have
all of that under. So that's how I got started.
What a growing thing!
We have so many definitions. Like I was.
We have lots to talk about.
I interrupted you now, but I was like, yeah, there's a lot that we're going to follow up and dive into. Me like, what does this mean?
What does this mean?
We have a lot to talk about.
Oh, Amy,
so
exciting.
30 years ago to today, that's how I got started.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. It's an evolution. I love that you started as a social worker, and it's the transformation into helping people using different mediums. So we're going to get all into it. Jackie, you're back.
Yes.
You are involved in the coolest things in our community. When you are not visiting our local assisted living and nursing homes, helping to support quality and our older adults and caregivers and professionals
age
in the area.
Age waivers. Remember that name?
Remember the age waivers. Those riding the age wave.
Oh.
Jackie.
Yes.
What is your connection to all of this discussion today?
I started after I retired, knowing that I wanted to do something else. Mm. And it happened that I went to a class in becoming an activity director.
Okay.
I became certified as an activity director. Then I decided I needed more nursing home adult care exposure. So then I became certified as a med tech. Then that wasn't enough, so I decided I needed to take the CNA course.
And what does CNA mean for our listeners?
That means a certified nursing assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually worked as a CNA for home.
Hmm.
So I did that. I was doing that, and I became involved with the Department of Aging, various committees in Orange County. And I decided that I needed more, and I decided to take the Master Gardening course in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and I happened along the way to go to several presentations on therapeutic gardening. Therapeutic horticulture. So I decided, wow. Much like Amy, in that I could combine the two and really make a difference for the seniors in our community by bringing a program to them. Many of the facilities in Orange County, adult care and nursing homes, have beautiful gardens.
They do.
But they're tended by the, you know, whoever they hire for.
The staff, the groundskeepers, or the dining staff even, because you have some using it for their food and maybe some families. But
Or volunteers come in.
But not the residents. Right. So there have been several instances now where we have gone into the facilities and helped them in terms of beginning gardens. Now, we're not to the point yet where we're having the residents become involved, but that will come.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That will come.
And I remember that was really popular where I used to work. All right, we're going to play Name That Term. I feel like I want to dive all into the benefits and the programs and many thanks to Jackie and Amy, who actually helped to craft some of the questions, so we made sure we covered all of it.
Yes.
But clearly, we need to do some definitions.
Yeah, we need a glossary.
So let's talk about what therapeutic horticulture is, and then what a therapeutic horticulturalist does.
Yeah, sure. So sometimes it helps to talk about what it isn't.
Great.
So that we can figure out what it is.
There was a question on how does it differ from traditional gardening. So I have a feeling that's where you're going with this.
So sometimes people look at people out gardening together and they say, oh, that looks therapeutic, and it is. It's always anytime you get out in the soil, and it's just beneficial to just be outside. That's always a good thing.
Absolutely.
It doesn't necessarily make it therapeutic horticulture, but we're going in the right direction there. Gardening, when you go out and garden, that's the benefit there is to make sure you have healthy plants. You know, that's what you're looking for there. The end result is that your garden is healthy, and maybe you've got something good to eat or a nice vase of flowers.
Curb appeal,
right? That could be it, too. But that's what gardening accomplishes, is that you have a healthy garden or a pretty house.
I see where this is going.
And if the gardener ends up in a good place at the end of it, so much the better. But that's what gardening accomplishes. Therapeutic horticulture, on the other hand, is promoting human health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And generally, the plants benefit as well. I mean, almost always the plants benefit as well. But sometimes they don't. I brought my little plants, and is radio.
Listeners, so. I wish we were a TV show just for this. Amy, what did you bring to our lovely studio?
So I will describe. So let's the theater of the mind. I have a, if you can imagine, like a six-pack. I brought...
I did bring a six pack
of plants. So there, it's a little handle top, and it has little they're little 4-inch pots of plants. So they're little terracotta pots.
I'm bringing it closer to us.
And they're mostly herbs. One of them is not. One of them is a Vicks plant, which isn't really an herb because you shouldn't eat it. But the rest of them are herbs.
Herbs, as I like to say.
Or herbs. Right.
If you watch BritBox,
herbs, they are
go on.
Herbs, but herbs. Are herbs. They're plants, and they're little plants. They go many places with me. I almost always, when I'm going anywhere that's therapeutic horticulture or horticultural therapy related, I bring plants with me. And these are really portable because they have a handle on the top. And then I can switch out the little pots because there's six little spots where you can put these little 4-inch pots.
I'll take a picture of it. Maybe I'll put it on the website. Yeah, and I'm so glad I moved it about 2 feet closer because now I can smell
them.
You can smell them. Can you smell
them? So that's the thing. That's one of the things in either one, horticultural therapy or therapeutic horticulture, is we try to bring the senses in as much as we can, the five senses. So sight, so we can see the plants. I know we can't on radio, but
they're
we can
green.
Smell the plants. Almost all of them are green. The purple sage isn't, but the purple sage is the one that's not doing as well as those of us in the studio can see.
It's ready for...
It's not doing as well.
Is it ready to be
Or you could have just told me it's a purple brown.
Yeah, it's got it. Well, it's normally a purple plant. It does have new growth on it, though, so it's going to be okay. That the happy ending is it'll be fine. But it got loved almost to death the other day when it was passed around. People pinched off little bits of it to feel, because it's fuzzy. It's a really nice tactile plant. People can play with it, and that's okay. I mean, we want people to do that. So I took off the parts of it that had really gotten kind of destroyed. But that's one of the things that we do in therapeutic horticulture is we pass the plants around.
The plants are
usually fine as a result of being part of the program. But sometimes they suffer
they
a little
get it.
Bit. This one will be okay though. It's got new growth on it. I brought it home and gave it some TLC and it's gonna be fine. But the participants really got a lot out of it.
And
so.
I never thought about until 3:10 seconds ago the five senses. You were starting to describe because we can see it.
You can see it.
We can smell them.
Yep. And if you would like to taste the mint, you are welcome to pinch off a little mint leaf and pop that in your mouth.
Am I going to be the next person you talk about who ruined one of your plants?
No, absolutely not. It'll grow back two more leaves where you pinch it off. So
are
it's
these
actually
six
a benefit.
A basic right. that anyone
I just
should
stick
start
it in my
or,
mouth?
Or did you just choose?
Oh, it
these
tastes like
all super easy.
Mint.
Yep.
Mint.
Should taste like mint.
I had a mint last night, but I really don't shy away from my ignorance. I was this tastes good. Is this mint or basil?
Yeah,
it's minty. It's like gum without the chemicals.
Right.
And chewing.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And then, why does this plant feel like my cat?
Yeah, that's so what you're feeling is the Vicks plant. So this
is fluffy. It's so soft and velvety.
So the name of this plant, the Latin name, the fancy name, is Plectranthus tomentosa.
Okay.
So tomentosa means fuzzy.
Look at that.
Isn't
see?
That cool?
Fuzzy.
Yeah. So you learn something too. So we're also using different, we're social, we're all together talking to each other, but we're cognitive, we're learning something.
We're bonding over
isn't
it.
Isn't that great?
Yes. So the only sense that I'm wondering about is hearing. I guess just how do you get that one or do we
We're hearing, we're doing hearing because we're talking.
We're
learning.
Talking I didn't know if you start crunching the leaves.
And we can crunch leaves together too.
Nice.
I've done it before where we've dried herbs before and we have them in a paper bag and we can shake it and say, "Can you tell which one this is?" By the large leaves, small leaves.
Can people do that? That seems like a level of
knowledge.
No, they
there's
can.
Dill versus mint versus it's they're pretty good.
So these terms, I will say, because this was an active program, and when I was at Kara Woods for many years, and so I have to say I used the term interchangeably, but I'm learning today that we're not supposed to. I would say therapeutic horticulture and horticultural therapy, and I use them synonymous. But why are they not the same?
So
they
a lot
sound
of people
so
use
similar.
I know, and I wish they were not so similar, because it can be really confusing. So the American Horticultural Therapy Association, which is our national organization, is trying really hard to separate the terms because they are different.
Okay.
So we think of therapeutic horticulture as the big umbrella, like the really big umbrella that includes everybody. That's the big table that everybody can be at. So that'll include forest bathing and that we're going out for a walk together and bringing all the senses in, and everything is included in therapeutic horticulture.
Yes.
Whereas horticultural therapy is, we think more about the therapy,
the
part
discipline
of it.
And the
right
training.
So that's going to be goals oriented. That's going to be in a clinical setting. I do have the training for that. That's what I went to the Horticultural Therapy Institute for. But that's going to be very clinical. So you'll think of physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. It's a very clinically based.
The analogy that keeps jumping into my mind, because I've spent a lot of time with music therapists, was that sense that they're like, music has a therapeutic nature for so many people and all these benefits. But you're not doing music therapy unless you're doing it with a trained music therapist.
That's exactly right.
And so I'm seeing those and that.
There's training. So there's goals. So you set long-term goals. You set short-term goals. It's measurable. You work with the person or with the family to figure out what are the goals, what are you trying to accomplish here, and then you use the plant-based activities to reach those goals. So it can be, I'm trying to improve my standing balance from 5 minutes to 15 minutes.
Sure.
Okay, so let's work together on some activities in the garden to improve your standing balance. Mm-hmm. Let me develop what those activities might be so that we can improve your standing balance. And I am trained to do those things. Whereas in therapeutic horticulture, it might be more of a wellness-focused thing where somebody might be withdrawn because they've had to move out of their family home and into a care facility, and the staff at the facility says, Mrs. Jones hasn't been out of her room very much lately. Can we see if we can get her to join the group? Sure, let's see if she'll join the group and be part of things, and we'll find some things that she used to grow and see if she'll join in, plant some plants with us, and take care of the plants.
So that's more therapeutic horticulture because it's
horticulture.
Different. And I'm going to ask a definition question to Jackie in a moment, but I want to follow up on your past. It seems to me, this is so fascinating, that you come from the social work background, which is that more supportive psychosocial. But when you were just talking about the goals of therapy, where it could even be, you know, standing up, you're really combining now the physical and the psychosocial through... That's cool.
And
is that true?
Yeah, okay. That's why I had to go to Horticultural Therapy Institute to learn that part of what I needed to know to be trained to do horticultural therapy.
And just to excite and potentially confuse our listeners a little bit more, let's talk. Jackie, I want you, since we just talked about horticultural therapy and defined therapeutic horticulture, horticultural therapy, how it differs from traditional gardening. Let's throw another one in, which is the term you used recently, that you're in the process of becoming, or you are, a master gardener. What does that mean?
It actually is it's a 13-week program. And we learn from the soil to the forest, trees. We learn all about the environment, nature, gardening, in terms of food, in terms of ornamentals, native plants. The subjects are endless in this 13-week series of lectures and projects and tasks. So at the end, you really come away with a knowledge base with regard to gardening and the environment in general.
And so the goal because that's a shorter course and it's learning more about gardening, and gardening is about the health of the gardening, and horticultural therapy is about more the health of the person. Does it sort of stop there? Because this is just like stage one. Like, Amy, did you have to do Master Gardener first before you did any of these things? Or,
well, Master Gardener is separate. That's so through it's just a North totally Carolina Cooperative yeah. Extension. However, we are really lucky in North Carolina that we have state-level support for therapeutic horticulture. Yeah. We have some, there's a department at NC State that supports therapeutic horticulture.
And a number used to come to where I would work. So students would come and they, all right, so there is a link between them, and I would
absolutely
not be surprised if people go back and
So you can get more training as a master gardener to do therapeutic horticulture if you're interested in that. There are master gardeners across the state who are interested in all kinds of things. So you can specialize once you've had the initial training.
Yes.
If you're interested in soil or if you're interested in therapeutic horticulture, you can go and get more training. I have a group of friends right now who's doing the pollinator census. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do once you're a master gardener. So it's fantastic.
Well, and you reminded me of something, and Jackie did a few moments ago. I need to apologize to our listeners and to, y'all don't know what I'm going to say with this, and to our previous guests. I have not been politically correct in my use of wordage and verbiage. I used the term dirt earlier, and I would like to apologize to all that have listened, because first Jackie and now Amy just reminded me, as did, I can't remember our guest who was talking about it, and she's like, it's not dirt.
Patty
did me in. And when Patty came on, Meehan. And is it Meehan?
Yeah,
and she said, and she talked, and she was a master, she is a master gardener, I think. And she was like, we don't say dirt, we say soil.
Heather, now.
Dirt is what you sweep.
That's what she said.
It's the lowest level of soil you can possibly get to.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, it harkens back to the Dust Bowl. That was dirt.
Got it.
Because it's dead. There's no nutrients.
I apologize for my use of the D word earlier. Okay. All right. So we've done some definition time. We did sort of an introduction about it's a thing. It's a field, and people have some serious training in it. Let's now get into it. Like, what you've kind of talked about it a bit, Amy, you did, but when we wanted to highlight the benefits for individuals in participating, and I think you've hit on it a bit, but I wanted to just, for anyone listening, and I will say, and I read so many self-help articles, and there is so much about, you know, go outside for 15 minutes a day. I mean, the vitamin D and just being around nature. Yep. So just being around soil and nature and but really diving in even more to the benefits.
Yeah. So there's the obvious ones that you've pointed out. There's social benefits to being in a group with other people and doing just any kind of a group project outside with, or even inside. A lot of times we've got a number of months and even weather days like this where gardening outside is maybe not such a great idea, especially with people that have mobility issues. It can be a little bit dicey to go outside. So even
I would add indoors. Not just those with mobility issues, but those of us, myself included, who get scared of soil. Right. I did gardening once. One time, I was putting mulch out, and I saw a snake, and it scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, they're mocking me, it's okay. Let's continue with the mocking really quickly, and I did teach my children that anything green is probably poison ivy, so stay away from it, just to horrify you. So where we're going with this is that I really enjoy indoor, like, pots and plants,
because
it feels
absolutely
safe to me.
Right.
I don't feel like I'm going to hit some sort of bug or snake and my nails.
Because things come in that, you know, I've bought plants that have had those things in it.
No, I know, yes. You see bugs in it, but it feels a little bit more controlled.
Anyway,
I didn't mean to interrupt Amy, which I did. It was more that there's a welcomingness of being inside and doing it. Go on, Amy, of the benefits.
We're going to get her outside.
You're going to lure me out with pizza and be like, here's some
soil.
Here
we go on. But there's an emotional benefit to having a sense of accomplishment. There's an immediacy to doing gardening. It's pretty. You can, instead of having something that takes a long time, and a garden can take a long time, you can also see immediate benefits. When you put mulch out, you improve something immediately.
Yes.
When you clean up a plant, this looked a lot worse yesterday. It looks looks better
poor guy.
A lot of these plants. Yeah, but it when you prune a plant, when you clip flowers and mm-hmm. arrange them into a vase and give them to somebody, there's an emotional benefit right away.
Absolutely.
Physical benefits are incredible. We always do a little bit of stretching beforehand and then a little bit afterwards.
Because the knees, I'm always seeing like the knee pads everywhere and then the modified, what's it called, the shovels and the spoons with the thicker, the OXO mm-hmm. brand or something.
Right. And before I had my training, I didn't think about it too much.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, it's just gardening. It's not just gardening.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to stretch and to really pay attention to those things, to get ready, get limbered up, so that we don't do any damage while we're out
I'll
there.
I'll get down.
Gardening.
I will not get up. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's
and cue to go to Alicia's class.
I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get that
right,
body.
Right. So it's important, but the physical benefits, just the, and it's meaningful work. It's not. We're not just doing it as some of the participants have put it to me. We're not just doing an aerobics class.
Right.
We're doing something that's meaningful work. We're tending to a garden. We're not just throwing our bodies around. We're doing gardening.
In which case, there's nothing wrong with it. But I see what they mean. They're beautifying their space. They're beautifying other people's space.
Right.
They're bringing something to mm-hmm. life. They're caring and nurturing. And many folks are nurturers. I have gotten into pets in the last few years, but as I'm an empty uh-huh. nester now, my girls are off to college, and so now my nurturing love goes to my kittens, which mm-hmm. even though they're cats now, they're kittens. And for a lot of people, it's their pets.
Right.
I mean, their plants are their pets.
Exactly.
It's their babies.
Mm-hmm. And that's I'll talk about that in a minute, but cognitive, one of the huge benefits is the cognitive benefits.
Yes.
We learn so much. It's the questions that people ask are amazing. They keep me on my toes. It's like a Q&A show when I get questions about the plants that we're doing about. One of the things.
Cognitive for you. I was thinking cognitive for the participants in terms of thinking through what they may need.
But they'll ask questions about plants. We get the Latin names of all the plants. Not that we have to remember them, but just it's just helpful to know those things because especially some of the facilities that I go into, you never know who your audience is.
Oh, and I'm sure you're going to get. One of my best friends is a Latin teacher.
Yeah, you'll have
so
a Latin
she would have
teacher.
Fun with.
I mean, you'll have somebody that's had 45 years as a horticulture professor sitting right there, and you don't know that until. They'll correct you and they'll say, I believe that's, that plant is that. And you'll be like, ah, you're right.
I said that on purpose.
Exactly.
Just to see if you all were paying attention.
Yeah. So it's wonderful. It's just the things that we learn just by having these conversations with each other. It's amazing. So just the cognitive benefits are incredible. And then for people that are in care facilities, just being able to, when they're in the situation where they're having to receive care 24 hours a day and then going out into the garden and being the person who gives care mm-hmm. to something.
That's so important.
It's so important.
There was back in the day, I'm talking deep into the 80s and 90s, I remember seeing it was a Harvard study that looked at everyone in a nursing home got a plant to care for.
Yeah. I've seen that study.
And it's part of the whole Eden philosophy
of
children, plants, and animals, and sort of bringing life and spontaneity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, okay.
But it's called
so many benefits.
Being able to flip that and to be able to give the care instead of having to receive the care all the time. They treasure that. They just treasure the ability to be a nurturer for once when they thought they had to give that up.
Well, and that's a great question. And Jackie, I'll throw this one to you, though. Amy, I'm sure you can add into it in terms of examples of success stories, people that you've seen, and you've gone to a lot of our communities. When you've seen this support, what does it look like?
I think a lot of people just love having their hands in soil and the ability to grow something and improve their landscape or mm-hmm. improve the environment is beneficial. I think when and Amy does this actually, when she goes to, or one of the other instructors go to one of their facilities that contract them, they actually have activities that are based on the plant-people connection. Mm-hmm. And they see a lot of good results in terms of health and wellness. Mm-hmm. So
I remember one of the most popular programs when I was paying attention back in the day when I was in that environment was flower arranging. Mm-hmm. So here they weren't gardening in a traditional sense, so it wasn't soil, but we have wonderful local businesses who would donate a bunch of flowers. Mm-hmm. And that was such a boon, not just for creativity, but beautiful. And then then they would be delivered all over the community. Oh, wow, to people. Nice. So it was just, you know, benefit on top of benefit. Yeah.
Yeah, the creativity is amazing. I always bring, whenever I bring activities into a group, I bring an example. Mm-hmm. Not to say yours needs to look like mine, but yes, more yours really shouldn't look like this. Yours will look so much better because, yes, you will be creative. Mine is just, I have thrown this together with the materials that I'm bringing you. Please be more creative than this. They always. I just almost put mine behind my back after I see what they do with the things that they bring. They are just tremendous.
So clearly, and we're all busy smiling in here, I was going to ask, and you've spoken about a little bit how you've tailored program to individual, yeah, needs and goals and what sessions may look like. But is there anything that kind of hasn't been covered when you are creating either group or individual sessions and figuring out how to tailor them?
Yeah,
what's that
absolutely
process like?
So it's going to depend on what the goals of the group are and what the goals of the staff and the facility are too. So we always have that discussion, you know, when I'm talking with the staff. I do in some of the facilities I go into, I'll do co-treatment with the allied health professionals. So speech therapy, occupational, mm-hmm, therapy is pretty common. So if they're co-treating a patient that is in the group, I'll have a discussion with them, and mm-hmm, they'll use the same materials that I'm bringing in, and then they're not stacking blocks on a table. They're using plant materials, mm-hmm, which is a lot more fun than, you know, some of maybe the traditional materials that they would be using.
Yeah.
And a lot more meaningful to the person that they're treating. So that works really well. And then we're both, mm-hmm, accomplishing the same thing in the same session, and the person doesn't have to sit through two separate sessions, and they're getting to the same finish line, mm-hmm, in one, mm-hmm, session, which is great. I always in every session that I offer anybody, I offer choices. That's really important, mm-hmm, especially to somebody that's in a care facility, because a lot, yeah, of time they don't get choices.
Mm-hmm. They want that sense of independence.
Yeah.
Decision-making is a key part of independence.
It is. And I remember going into one place, and I was talking with the director there. She was saying it had been her first day at one point, and she was a social worker like I was, and she said that when she talked to the folks that were getting ready for lunch, mm-hmm, she offered them a choice between grape and strawberry jelly, and they had never been offered that choice before. You mean I can have a choice?
Oh, I hope that was a really long time ago.
It was a long time ago, but I said, okay, well, I will always, always, always offer choices between the color of the container, between the type of plant, between, you know, as many different choices as I can offer, because that way the person can tailor what their activity looks like, mm-hmm, not me. Mm-hmm. They can, whatever choice looks best for them, so that they can adjust if they want, yes, to sit with their back to the window or their back to the door. Or
if they want to have a vegetable or flower.
Right, exactly.
Or a herb.
As many different choices as I can offer.
Herb.
Yeah, or her, right. Exactly.
Well, I love that. I want to ask about some of the challenges and limitations. And before you even jump into it, I'm just going to ask the big issue, because I was just thinking about how you were kind of co-therapizing.
Yeah.
You were sort of co-working.
Yeah.
There's a word for you. Which is, who's paying for this? Mm. Because I know enough to be like, well, the physical therapy is getting a reimbursement.
That's right.
From Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting a reimbursement for Medicare? Is part of the reason why you can do it at the same time? Like, this is all private pay, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it is all private pay.
That's a big limitation.
That is a big limitation.
Do you think that'll change?
I hope that someday it
will
change.
I don't think so. I'm just shaking.
I don't think it is soon.
I think it'll be a long time coming.
Mm-hmm. But it's so important, and so the results are better.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the part of the show where I yell at Alicia when we were talking, having nothing to do with the topic. Oh, Alicia, come closer to the mic. I was warning our guests, there's a point in the show normally where Alicia gets into the topic, she sits all the way back and goes, well, what about if Medicare covers it?
So I could see maybe... Never?
We're not going to have a health policy conversation right now, healthcare costs. I could see maybe a Medicare Advantage plan, which has the ability and flexibility to add in sort of other benefits, just like they have silver sneakers. They could say, well, we're going to pay for a series of programs at the senior center. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. But I would think right now, the people that I know that have it privately, personally, and the groups that I know, it is either the individual and their family, or it is the community, the facility, I hate that term, themselves paying for it.
Right. So the communities
are... resident fees.
It comes out of resident fees, activity fees. A community will decide that they want to cover it as an enrichment.
As a program, okay. Yeah.
So so clearly I threw that limitation in. Other limitations to sort of... And we'll get more into accessibility and applications, but other limitations.
I wouldn't say limitations exactly,
challenges.
But it's really important to be respectful of the... I guess the scheduling of a facility or of an organization that I'm going into as a contractor, the way that they're able to keep their high level of care is by keeping their schedule. So I have to make sure that my programs aren't too short or too long. I need to make sure that everything that I bring in, I'm pointing to my plants right now, are non-toxic.
I'm going to touch the fuzzy one. I'm going to slow you down right there because that was a big one because you were saying non-toxic and I think you were going to go on to something else. That has been a big issue when I used to be connected with skilled nursing and now at home with pets.
Right.
Which is, you just had me put a leaf in my mouth and
I
you
did.
Said that's, but that issue of that list, and I've seen that list
There's
of plants.
List. It's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So I didn't want you to go
tomatoes,
too quickly. I wanted to take a moment to really talk about that challenge of how you pick the plants that you know are the safest if people actually do either
very
they mean
important.
To or whatever, but they put it in their mouth.
Right. And it's very important. I go into memory care facilities that have people, you know, that have cognitive loss, and they do put things in their mouth. So it's extremely important. There are locked facilities. You can't bring anything sharp, like scissors or secateurs or knives or anything that you would use to do gardening with. We would just grab a pair of shears to go clip, you know, to clip a plant. We can't have that in those parts. So,
are you mindful about taking things that are edible versus not?
I will bring things that are edible, but I know that they will be eaten.
Even the Vicks plant?
Yeah, even the Vicks plant. You wouldn't want.
I'm petting it.
Yeah,
listeners.
It's
so funny.
It's sort of self-correcting.
It's like those lamb's ears.
It will not hurt you if you eat it. You could bite off a leaf and eat it. It wouldn't taste very good. So you probably wouldn't take
like
a
Vicks
second one. Yeah.
Vapor.
It's sort of self-correct. Yeah. So it would not hurt you.
There is a list. Yeah. And
there's
this
a list.
It's
a
long list.
It's a book.
NC State, their plant toolbox that will list all the toxic plants. So never take any of those. And then we've got lists for invasives and other things.
And like poinsettias become an issue around the holidays.
It's got the sap. No, I have a book. It's like a little novel-sized book that's... toxic plants.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know I jumped in. So other limitations.
Yeah. So the limitations on bringing sharp things into a facility that has restrictions. That means there's a whole, I guess, constellation of gardening activities that we really can't do in that space. So
it
has to be very tailored and a lot of pre-planning and maybe pre-setting of things and really thinking about the plants that I can bring in there that have to be cared for either by other people that have access to those tools or thinking about things that maybe don't need that kind of care.
Right.
So you really have to think hard about what you can bring in and leave in places that can't have sharp tools at all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and I know we have We have a few minutes left, and I know that we've talked a lot about in communal settings. I know I have done referrals for some of the folks that I'm working in the community, and I know there have been there's been therapeutic horticulture that's brought to their home. Again, mm-hmm. that's a private, if they're able to afford that. But yeah. there are folks, and I'm assuming you're one of them. You're in private practice. So other settings, you know, clearly in communal mm-hmm. settings, but this can come to your home. What are other settings yeah. where people might see it?
Oh, goodness. There's senior centers are a wonderful setting. Churches often do therapeutic horticulture.
Would corporate get into this with all yes. the things going on?
Oh,
corporate
yeah.
America would?
Absolutely. Hmm. Yeah, I've seen that done in corporate America. I have a friend in Greensboro that does corporate wellness, does therapeutic horticulture. That's really
I
wonderful.
I can see that in addition to like that they offer for their staff, in addition to chair massages, like at Wednesday, come and make your own.
Yeah, they adopt
kids
a plant.
These days. Mm-hmm. My 18-year-old, all of her friends are all into succulents these
yes.
days, and they have them all around their dorm rooms, they have make your own succulents.
They did this at NC State a couple of years ago to sort of reduce the stress level of the students.
Oh,
they
good.
Had a thing in the brickyard where you could come and pot a little plant and take it back to your dorm or your apartment and hopefully reduce stress and have a little plant to take care of.
Oh,
so
good.
There's so many places where I think any population can benefit from working with plants.
They really can, and I think the group, again, listeners, pay attention to the Department on Aging and their website, and we're going to talk about some other things, resources, in a moment. But that also makes it accessible even financially, because there's a lot of group programs that are either free or low cost, as opposed to, because like other private therapies, it gets more expensive when you're bringing it in individually.
Right, but group makes it cuts the cost anytime it's in a group.
So in our last few minutes, I do want to talk about any advice you have, both of you, for listeners who want to. And now I'm, you know, it's good when even I'm engaged. I mean, I'm always engaged, but like I want to do this now. Maybe I shouldn't be so scared of plants.
There you go.
I'm very scared of plants.
No.
So advice for our listeners who want to learn more about therapeutic horticulture for themselves, either for their own personness or to become it for others. There, I made up a weird sentence.
Well, I think, you know, this is so important, getting the word out, because there are many people who are unfamiliar with the topic. And, you know, to have the knowledge, then it will trickle down. And I think families will support the idea and ask the various communal facilities for this kind of programming and be able to, you know, really, you know, get involved and realize the wellness benefit, the health benefit. And it's all science-based. It's nothing that we're making up or saw on Google. I mean, it really is science-based. You mentioned a study at Harvard. There are other studies that have been done and other places that have been created, like Central Park. You know, that has a therapeutic element in that it's a space for urbanites to go and relax, and it welcomes everyone.
Other advice pieces for listeners, and including, I mean, I throw out the Department on Aging. Are there other websites there? Amy, if you have a website, you know, where do you think people should find out more?
I think if you go to the NC State Cooperative Extension website and then navigate to Therapeutic Horticulture, there are lots of good articles there. And I just got finished teaching the second of four classes. Jackie was in that class. So
my
I was
one of the teachers.
When you said you're a student, you were not joking around.
No, I brought my teacher.
One of the two teachers in that class. We had 75 students from all over the world in that class. So
this is going to be a futuristic type of thing.
Yeah, and what these
Alicia,
were
this is for you next.
Yeah, these were allied health professionals. So these are people that have established careers in lots of different professions that want to bring therapeutic horticulture into what they're already doing, into the classroom if they're a teacher, if they're into occupational therapy, into care facilities if they go into care facilities like Jackie does. So they want to incorporate therapeutic horticulture into their professional life, and I think that's a really wonderful way to bring this idea into just normal everyday ways of taking care of
the culture today,
right now.
And we have our own. Since we are, well, are you going to say our own local people to go to? Is that what you're about
well,
to say?
Well, I was going to mention, and I think Amy would get in trouble if she didn't mention her own website, the North Carolina Botanical.
Yes. That's what I was just going to say. The North Carolina Botanical Gardens. Yeah, I
it's
was going to say right
fabulous.
Now.
Fabulous. They have so many courses, and that's where that's I found out about the therapeutic horticulture course.
I will say, even though I am not a gardener in any way, shape, or form, I am a member of North Carolina Botanical Gardens.
Good.
I like to go to their events.
Are?
I like to buy things. Yeah. I'm not a gardener, but I'm a shopper. I'm glad you gave a shout out to the Botanical Gardens.
Thank you.
So we have a few minutes left. I want to make sure anything else that you want to share in terms of exciting developments or emerging trends that you see that we all should know about.
Yes. So I was really privileged a couple weeks ago to go over to Raleigh and go to a research update from a researcher that traveled all the way over here from South Korea to share her research with us. South Korea, and actually maybe a lot of the rest of the world, is kind of way ahead of us in therapeutic horticulture and horticultural therapy.
I knew that, though.
They are state supported. They have facilities built for research for this.
Interesting.
So she's a PhD, and she works with mental health facilities in patients. They do biomarker research, so she's able to take blood samples and measure things like serotonin and other blood markers. So what they'll do is do horticultural therapy with people, measure the before and after, and they're finding that there are meaningful differences before and after people take courses of horticultural therapy. So this is the kind of research that we're able to point to going forward to show that there is a scientific basis for why this works.
To be used in my generation to come when we're sitting around planting.
So we're really excited about this. Yeah.
I think that's great. Yeah. I think it's great. You'll calm us down.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep us together.
Well, I mean, my own serotonin levels or cortisol levels have been blessed by this conversation. I really can't thank you both enough. We have Jackie Podger and we have Amy Bruza-Casey. Did I do good?
Ta-da.
You there. Yay, all about the power of therapeutic horticulture and horticultural therapy. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, thank you. And as always, thank you, Orange County Department on Aging, for creating this show to put on the fabulous WCOM, LPFM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. And listeners, we'll be back next week with another Aging Well Together show. Thank you.